Amen. How thankful we are for the spiritual transformation, the new birth, we call it, that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Right where you're seated or standing, would you lift your hands and just thank Him from your heart? Maybe go down memory lane and recall when He rescued you and set you free. Lord, thank You so much for that service, that time, that place when we met You and You've changed our lives. And that's why our hearts are full, even overflowing tonight with thanksgiving and gratitude. And we celebrate what You have done for us. Amen. And there's no one who can celebrate like a person who's been set free. When you have experienced it personally, you can hear about it, but once you experience it personally, there's nothing like it. Amen. He has changed our lives, and that's why there's a smile on our faces this evening. That's why we've made the choice to come to His house, and we are thankful to Him. Amen. You can be seated. I was planning to present this message on a Sunday earlier this year, and the schedule changed and I didn't, but even in planning to do so, it kind of had a Wednesday-ish feel, if there is such a thing. And so when it turned out that I didn't have the opportunity to present it on a Sunday, this opportunity came, and I thought, well, maybe this was what was supposed to be. I do admit at the outset that I have taught this lesson before. I think the last time was in the year of our Lord 2012 here in the sanctuary. And the reason I point that out is because I, once you hear my theme, I don't want you to think that this message was simply born out of the effects of our COVID protocols, COVID prevention protocols. The last year has been interesting to say the least. But the principle of scripture that I'm going to highlight is something that I did long before a pandemic. It was true then, it's true now, and it's going to remain true after we get through all of this ahead of time. I'm going to read from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and just a couple of verses. This should be the King James Version that I'm reading. You can remain seated, too, if you would do that. You can turn to these places. I have a few scriptures for you this evening. Hebrews 10, 24, familiar verses. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And actually, that may have been the New King James Version if you're keeping score. But we are instructed here, as you can see, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to exhort or encourage one another, and do so all the more as we see the day approaching. And so for just a little bit, I want to bring to you this thought: advantages of assembling ourselves together. Advantages of assembling ourselves together. There's an old Roman saying that I read that Roman orators would use before they made a speech, and it went something like this: there is a time when nothing must be said, there is a time when something should be said, but never a time when everything should be said. And so this evening, I know that God's people can just about assemble anywhere, anytime. And so to avoid preaching about everything, I'm going to limit my focus to the times that we meet here in this building, or APC. Congregational meetings have been a part of religious culture since ancient times. In fact, in the Old Testament, after the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, God instructed Israel to have special meeting times. And He even foretold through Moses that God would one day choose a place out of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that would be the meeting place, or the place where they would gather. As we know, it turned out to be Jerusalem, and that was the location where they were to bring their sacrifices, their tithes, their offerings. They were to gather there for appointed feasts. Well, today, here in 2021, we don't go to the holy city of Jerusalem. Imagine that commute if we had to do that every Sunday. But the concept of God's people assembling themselves is certainly carried over into the New Testament. It started with the birth of the church on Pentecost. If you'll remember there in Acts chapter 2, it says about 120 were all in one place when the Holy Ghost was first outpoured, or there was the birth of this Pentecostal experience. And maybe this is a bit far-fetched, but if you think about it, Jesus could have told them to wait separately in their homes. He could have said, you split up, and then this is how I want to do it. But they clearly understood, or they came to the conclusion, that He wanted them to be together. And so they were for some 7 to 10 days until the Holy Ghost was outpoured. And certainly, this practice continued throughout the New Testament record of the church. And there are lots of good reasons to come to church. I realize I'm speaking to people who have come to church on a Wednesday night. And so, admittedly, in many respects, this is going to be under the heading of reminders. But I think every once in a while it's good for us to have reminders. And at the very least, I hope we'll leave this place with a fresh appreciation of what it means to get together in the house of God, to have the opportunity, to have the privilege, and for our eyes to be open to the wonderful advantages that there are when we consciously make the choice, as we've done tonight, to come be in the house of the Lord. And one of the advantages of assembling ourselves together, and none of this is rocket science, but I might throw out one or two that you haven't really considered or thought about for a while, but one of them is simply this: fellowship with God's people. In Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And if you'll stop and look at that verse or consider it for a moment, it does say, I, David speaking, was glad when they. So we've got some other people involved. Some others said to me, let us, don't you, David, you need to be in the house of God. Get on down the road and get there. No, he said, let us go into the house of the Lord. It brought joy to David's heart to realize that there were some people that wanted to gather with him and go to the house of the Lord. And in Acts 2, we're told in the New Testament that the new believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, but also in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. I'll be quick to note that socializing is not a primary purpose of our getting together in church, but it is enjoyable to get together with God's people. It is enjoyable. Even if you can't greet everybody in a congregation our size, it is heartwarming to realize that you are gathered with people of like precious faith, that you're with people who are on the quote-unquote other side of the sanctuary who also have your love for God in their hearts, who also share an experience of biblical salvation. They hold to the apostolic teaching, share the same mission, and certainly have come to worship God in spirit and truth, just like you have. And that's heartwarming. Even if you don't get to say hi or smile at everybody tonight, you're with people of like precious faith. And that does bring joy to our hearts. But even beyond our general services, such as we're in this evening and we have on Sundays, we also get together in smaller groups, without question. And not all of them are attended by everybody. That's the reason they're called small groups. But we have Celebrate Recovery on Tuesday night, Grief Share on Thursday night. I did hear Brother Bowie announce Friday night the ladies are getting together. Can we hear a yes for the ladies? About time, right? I think, I don't know when it was, last Sister Sue, last time you guys got together. A year, whole year almost? Okay. And so that's coming up, and you are meeting in here, right? So you can all spread out and be safe. So that's a ministry, a time of getting together that's a little different than what we're doing tonight. Certainly the men's ministry, they have get-togethers planned on the calendar this year. Our youth are meeting right now in their own meeting or time of worship and fellowship. And so there's all kinds of ways. In fact, even Children's Church is getting ready to launch again. We tried it back in November and got shut down a little bit by a surge in COVID, but we are aiming for next Wednesday to have that up and going. And we're also looking at some meetings for Sundays too at 9 and 11. So all these smaller groups are ways that the church gets together, enjoys fellowship one with another. Another advantage to our assembling ourselves is the fact that we can have united prayer. In Acts 2:42 that I mentioned earlier, it does say that they continued in a number of things, but one of them was in prayers. Jesus teaches us, I know it's in Matthew 6, there's probably another place or two in the Bible, but he teaches us specifically that we are to have private times of prayer. He talks about going into your closet, shutting the door, praying to your Father, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So clearly there is private devotion advocated by Jesus and the Word of God. However, there are other times when we join in prayer. Acts 2:42 that I've referenced is one of those. They continued in prayers, and that implies that they had different meeting times. In fact, in Acts 3, when Peter and John were on their way to the temple, it was what? The hour of prayer. It was an appointed time where they went to the temple for prayer, and not just the two of them. I'm sure there were others too. In Acts 12, I think Brother Linder referenced this Sunday in his message, when Peter was in prison, the church got together. They didn't all stay home and pray individually, but they got together for corporate prayer. Acts 16 talks about a ladies' prayer meeting in Philippi, Acts 16, where they met. So lots of scriptures and references to us getting together, and it's certainly an advantage when we join our faith and offer our prayers to God. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, I think I do have these verses for you on the screen. James 5:14 says, "Is any one among you sick?" Now this is talking about a specific kind of prayer. It says, "Let him call for the elders," and notice the plurality of that, "of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up." Clearly, elders, if I can just use that biblical term, they make house calls to visit the sick if needed. They make hospital calls, at least we did pre-COVID, right? But there is the implication, of course, that these elders can also pray in a congregational meeting. You get the idea that if you're there sick, and obviously it's something that's not contagious, but you have a sickness, an illness, a disease, you can call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint you with oil, pray over you in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so you've got this combined prayer. Even though elders are cited, we all can call on the name of Jesus Christ together. And through the combined prayer, we can see our faith rewarded. And I think you'll agree that combined prayer is, it's like a channel to God. It is certainly a gateway into his presence. We experienced that around here last Saturday night. Not all of you were able to come, but we had a tremendous time of prayer here in the sanctuary. And I'm not taking one thing away from your private devotion, but if you were here, I think you have to admit it was pretty powerful to be with others. Great advantage, and it wasn't a regular church night, but we got together for the focus of prayer, the specific reason of praying, and what a time we had in the presence of the Lord. We were challenged and helped and strengthened, and we know God heard us. In fact, James 5:16, that next verse says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Just imagine what a whole bunch of people praying together can do. And certainly we've seen that as we have assembled ourselves together. And so prayer, united prayer, is a real great blessing. Another one, and this point may seem a little self-serving, but when we get together, we hear anointed preaching. And I say self-serving because I are one, as they say. But regardless of the messenger, and I know I'm with mature saints of God that agree with this, regardless of the messenger, it's the preached word of God that's crucial. So no matter who's here behind the sacred desk, as we call it sometimes, as long as the preacher's in the book, it's going to work. As long as he's preaching God's word, it's not going to return void, but it's going to have the effect that God intends for that specific service. And that's why it's such a joy to come faithfully to services, because you hear different ministers, but not only different ministers, you hear different messages. What God had for us last Sunday won't be what God has for us this Sunday if he tarries his coming. But by coming faithfully, we benefit from all the messages that God lays on the hearts of the ministry. And so certainly that is a great advantage of us coming together. And I know we're in a technological age, and you can watch DVDs and see things live stream and all of that, but there's just something about being live, I guess, there in person and feeling the impact of God's word going forth and people of God responding. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says this, "It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching," or really what is meant there, "through the foolishness of the message preached." And Paul was specifically talking about the crucifixion, how it didn't make sense to the Greeks and the Jews didn't really understand it. But it's through that means, preaching, that God has chosen to save those who believe. And not only save, but it's also his way of ministering to us, helping us, encouraging us, guiding us, telling us the things that we need to know. I remember years ago, in fact, we were at the old church. Some of you might remember when Brother Green was our pastor, we remodeled the platform, extended it from the small size that it was, and it was on a midweek service. It was under construction, and Brother Charles Clanton, who has gone home to be with the Lord, was invited to come preach, and I came to the house of the Lord that night. I was in my late teens, I guess, if memory serves, And I came with a dilemma. There was something going on that I needed an answer, and I'd prayed about it, sought God, and I was even in the pre-service prayer time that night talking to God about it, letting him know that I needed some clarity on what I needed to do in a given situation. And I came out to the service, and when Brother Clanton preached that evening, his message was my answer. That night, what he declared was exactly what I needed to hear and let me know how I needed to respond or act in that given situation. And so firsthand, even though it wasn't a salvation message, it was a time of ministering to me. And I got my answer through the preaching of the word because God laid it upon his heart. And I'm sure it helped others in that service as well, but it was particularly what I needed. And when we mix our faith with the word of God, it will produce results. When we hear the word of the Lord, receive it in faith, it will produce results. And so anointed preaching is a tremendous advantage that we have when we assemble ourselves together. And here's one that you might not just readily think of, but when we gather, it's also a time when we can give offerings to causes bigger than ourselves. We know quite well that we can send money from home. In fact, COVID has taught us that we can certainly get online and do that. But there is something, I don't know, inspiring, at least to me. Maybe I'm a little bit off base in some regards, but it's inspiring to me as we agree as a group to help others. Sometimes that's planned, you know in advance, like our missions conference last weekend, we knew it was coming. We knew that we were going to be prayerful about faith promises and so forth, but sometimes it's spontaneous. I've been in services where God just, a need arose and God just started moving on people's hearts, and this one said, I'll give this, I'll give that, and it's pretty fascinating to see how God will work through us to meet needs in the church. And so it can be an advantage in that regard, just that it inspires us to be a blessing to something beside ourselves or a cause that's bigger than ourselves. And so that's certainly an advantage. And then here's another one. Acts 14, verse 27. I think I have this one too on the screen. Acts chapter 14, verse 27 says, and when they were come, and that means to Antioch, and had gathered the church together, so it was a congregational meeting, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And one of the advantages in our assembling ourselves together is that we can listen or hear of reports of the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. In this case, the disciples were coming back to report what God had done, particularly in opening the door to the Gentiles. And you can imagine the thrill as they were hearing these reports. I know we live in the day of social media. I know you can read all kinds of posts and good things, and I'm glad it's out there. But again, it's just something special about being there in person when you can hear the news. And we experienced this last Sunday in the missions conference at the outset, even Saturday night at the prayer meeting, but then also in both the Sunday services, reports were shared, good things were happening. Even when it came to the offering, it was the growing number was flashed there on the screen, and just exciting to learn about what God is doing. And it is exciting to get firsthand accounts of God's healings for various people, the outpouring of his spirit, baptisms, lives being changed, churches being started, new works being planted, whether it's North America or other places in the world, and even to hear about answers to prayer, divine protection, divine provision, and when folks have an opportunity to share what God has done for them, it's heartwarming, it's faith building, and it's so strengthening to know that we can get together. And that's, again, none of these are the sole reason we gather, but it's one of the advantages, one of the many advantages that we have in getting together or assembling ourselves. Listening to reports of the worldwide church is clearly an advantage. And then we also are encouraged and directed through the gifts of the Spirit. If you're not familiar with those, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 will outline them for you with some explanation. And there are reference books and other ways that you can delve into those to learn more than just what's stated there in 1 Corinthians. But in the 7th verse of that chapter, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. That is, the gifts of the Spirit are given to by God to others, severally as he will. But it's given for the profit of all. So the gifts of the Spirit, clearly as I read through there, it's for the community of believers. This is not to say that the gifts of the Spirit cannot or will not operate with you on your own or with just two or three in a home somewhere, but clearly when the congregation gets together, that's prime time, if I could say it that way, for the gifts of the Spirit to operate. And clearly one of the more visible ones is a message in tongues, an interpretation, or just a word of prophecy that comes forth. But the implication is that that demonstration, whatever it is, the word of knowledge, the gifts of faith, the healings, miracles, whether it is for everybody's advantage. And I know there are times when a message will specifically talk to a heart, just like Brother Clanton's message talked to my heart. But again, it talked to others. And so a message can help one person in particular or many. And that just seems to imply when you study through that, that the display of the gifts comes usually when we are together. And so when we assemble ourselves, that's the opportunity, the environment is right for God to minister or have those gifts operating. And he, again, chooses whom he will to use them. And there are, I believe, 9, if memory serves. I should know that, shouldn't I? Amber, where's Amber? Where's Amber? Where'd she go? Oh, she's, she's flashing photography vector, all that stuff. Is that right? Are there 9? Are there 9 gifts? Suddenly I had a mental block. Are you saying yes or no? I can't see with these lights. You think there's more? Oh, we'll debate later. Okay. How many are in 1 Corinthians 12? There we go. Thank you. See? Got to ask a guy. What do you know? No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. We'll talk later. She'll kick me in the shin now, won't she? All the ladies line up and kick Brother Reaver in the shin after church. But in all sincerity, they operate when we're together. And so what an advantage for us to be in the name of Jesus, gather, and to have that opportunity. And certainly, all kinds of good things can happen. The healings, the miracles, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, God speaking to us through the interpretation of tongues, and just so many wonderful things happen. And I won't slow down to go into it personally, but you're listening to a guy who has been helped time and time again, particularly by messages that were interpreted, message in tongues was given. In fact, I came to an altar back January 19th, 1975 because of the gifts of the Spirit that operated. There was a message in tongues. Brother Black gave the interpretation, and part of that was directly to me. And it got me in the altar. And so I'm a firm believer that the gifts of the Spirit are a tremendous advantage when we get together. And it's happened to me. There's been lots of things that have been communicated or confirmed in my spirit through the gifts. And so I'm very, very thankful that they are a part of the church. Another advantage in our assembling ourselves together is corporate worship. I won't read the verses, but Revelation 19 kind of gives us the idea that there's going to be lots of corporate worship in heaven. So if you don't care for corporate worship, you might not like heaven. I don't know. But Psalms 107:31 says this, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for all his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then verse 32, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people," or the assembly of the elders, as it reads there. And so you see clearly that one of the reasons of our gathering and one of the advantages of our assembling ourselves together is that we can praise him corporately. And I love this about our God. You can be saying your heartfelt praise on this side, and I can be on this side offering mine. God hears it all, accepts it all. But this is another thing that I've directly benefited from. When we're offering our praise corporately, there is an atmosphere that's created, an environment that is created where God is right at home. He dwells, inhabits our praises. So he's right at home to minister, right at home to meet needs and perform miracles and answer prayers and fill people with the Holy Ghost. All kinds of wondrous things happen in an atmosphere of worship. And most of you have been in the church long enough to know that if we keep our mouths shut and we kind of sit glumly and don't really get involved in worship, there's not a lot that happens. But boy, when we open our mouths in praise, when we worship, when we give God glory, you can just sense the atmosphere shifting, changing, and God's attention is gained, and good things result because of our corporate worship. And clearly, there's lots and lots of verses. If you want to do a study on it, you can. But let me give you just one more. David said in Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, I don't want to do it by myself, David said, but with me, let us exalt his name together. So David recognized that there was something powerful. He discerned the value of mutual worship and figured out it was pretty worthwhile to link up with others in giving worship, to join with other people in offering praise. And we all have different expressions of worship, and that's fine. But here's the point. We worship together. You might clap your hands, I might wave my arm, but we're worshiping together. You might dance with your feet, another might leap with his legs, but we're worshiping together. And the actual words of praise that I say and the words of praise that you say, they may be a little different, but it's all to his glory. It's all honoring him. It's all something that we do together. And so what an advantage when an atmosphere like that is created, such a positive effect, and the worship of God does pave the way for the ministry of the word and certainly for the moving of the Spirit. It is a tremendous, tremendous advantage. Another one is to... Another advantage is that we witness spiritual transformation. We can see baptisms, people's sins remitted in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus. People are filled with the Holy Ghost in our altars, in our benches, and other places, other meetings, small groups. And so we can witness spiritual transformation. It's certainly okay to, and maybe we don't say this as much as we used to, but it's okay to get your blessing at church. But don't forget, we're also assembled to be a blessing, to reach out to other people. And so praying with others, encouraging others, pointing others to God, leading them to a conversion experience are all things that can happen, tremendous advantages when we assemble ourselves together. And then in Hebrews 10 that I read at the outset, another advantage, it says that we are to consider one another to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so another advantage in our assembling ourselves is that we can have opportunity to prepare for that day which is approaching, or to recheck or to reevaluate or to better prepare, if it were, as it were. We don't know the day or hour when Jesus is coming back, but we can discern the season, right? In Thessalonians, Paul said, "Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So we might not know the day or hour. In fact, the Bible tells us we don't know it, but we can figure out the season. And one example that I've looked at over the years is, you know, if you have one of those calendars that, in fact, I guess it's next month, the first day of spring should be on your calendar. But if you've lived long enough to know, you know, that it doesn't always weather-wise match up. I can remember years ago with my daughter Angela, we must have been on spring break. We were, first day of spring, I remember it because it was so ironic. First day of spring, we were out at Westport Plaza, I think when Ozzie Smith still had his restaurant. I was taking her to lunch there in the noon hour, and we were walking through several inches of snow on the ground, first day of spring. So it doesn't always match up, but you start figuring out the seasons at hand, right? The robins, the tree blossoms, the flowers, the buds, and all the things that go along, the weather does start warming up. There are signs when you know that that season's at hand. It's the same way with the coming of the Lord. Don't know the day or hour, but we can look in the Word of God and see that it's coming soon. The coming of the Lord is soon. Signs, prophecies foretold in Scripture are coming to pass. World events point to it. And assembling ourselves together is just another opportunity to better prepare, to search our hearts and get ready for that day. And so we can take advantage of the opportunity being together to make our calling and election sure. But the best reason of all, the best advantage of all, when we get together is the fact that Jesus always shows up for church. Now, you can encounter Jesus anywhere. I'll be quick to say that. In fact, during his ministry, people encountered him in the city, encountered him in small towns and villages, along the road, mountains, along them, sea, houses, and the temple. The presence of Jesus is not limited by geography or even physics, for that matter. He can show up anywhere he wants, anytime he wants. He was with the Apostle Peter in prison, John on a deserted isle. He was with Paul in a foreign country, Italy. So there's no limitation to God and his manifestation. But through his Spirit, of course, he never leaves us, never forsakes us, present with us in our homes, hospital waiting rooms, outdoor services, doesn't matter where. But if there's any place where you can encounter the presence of Jesus Christ, it is the church. If there's any place that you can experience His love, His joy, His peace, it's right here in the house of God when we gather. So I'm simply saying this, a tremendous advantage in our assembling ourselves is that when you get together in God's house with God's people, you can expect Jesus is going to show up. Jesus is going to be in our midst. Just go ahead and plan on His presence being in the sanctuary and manifesting itself in some way. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yet another powerful advantage in assembling ourselves together is the fact that when we get together in His name, no matter how small the group or how large the group, in His name, He promises, I'll be there. I'll be there in your midst. And so that's a case where I know He meets with us in our private prayer times, but clearly He singled out that situation where just a handful or a whole bunch, as long as you're gathered with others in my name, I'll be there. And what a powerful, powerful thing for us. That's why we don't know when we get together everything that Jesus specifically plans to do. When we meet, you name the service, we don't always know what God has in mind. At least I don't. Maybe God gives you the insight and you know everything that's going down in a particular service. I don't. But one thing is for sure, by coming to church, we position ourselves to receive whatever it is He has for us on that given occasion. Just by showing up, we may not know exactly what He wants. We know kind of a few things that are probably going to happen, but whatever He's got in store for us, we're in on it because we've been faithful to the house of God. So showing up puts us in line for the blessing that He has to bestow. That's why I would just say it this way. As long as it's in your control, you want to get to the house of God. As long as you can make the decision on your own, as long as nothing is preventing it, get to the house of worship. It's a wise choice, and there is advantage after advantage after advantage of assembling yourselves together with the people of God. And in closing, I read an account of a local paper, so obviously this was some time ago, but a local newspaper had a Sunday morning religion section that contained, among other things, letters to the editor about various religious issues. And one Sunday, something was printed that became quite controversial. A man wrote, "I quit going to church this year. I decided that attending services week after week was a stupid thing to do. After all, I went to church for more than 40 years, and during my lifetime have probably been in 5,000 services. Only a handful of them were memorable. What a waste of time." Well, as you can imagine, this sparked some fury and a lot of incoming letters. Some wrote that church does make a difference. Some wrote they sighed. In fact, he signed that Bored and Busy. So they sided with Bored and Busy, his opinion that most services were meaningless or unnecessary. But finally, one letter came in and was printed, and it seemed to end the debate. Here it is. "I quit eating this year. Thanks to Bored and Busy's insights, I decided that eating week after week was a stupid thing to do. After all, I've been eating for more than 40 years, and during my lifetime have probably eaten 5,000 meals. Only a few of them were memorable. What a waste in time." And he signed it, "Starved and Stupid." Sometimes you wonder, in a given service, just what does it mean to come to that particular service? But don't overlook the spiritual benefits of assembling ourselves together. We need the fellowship. We need the united prayer. We need the anointed preaching. We need the opportunities to give to causes bigger than ourselves. We need reports of what God is doing. We need the manifestation of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We need community or corporate worship. We need to witness transformation in people's lives. We need to prepare for the day that's approaching. And certainly we need to meet with Jesus Christ and experience His power and His presence. I can't tell you tonight, I've been brought up in the church, for those that don't know me or my background, I couldn't tell you how many services I've attended. I didn't even think to try to add them up, just even an average. I don't know, but whether I knew it or not, I needed them all. And I'll have to admit, there's a lot of services that I couldn't pinpoint to you what happened exactly here and there. There are a lot of them I can. But when we take the time and the effort, and it does take some time, it does take some effort to come to the house of God, that's for sure. But it's worth it to be in the presence of God. It's worth it to be with people of like precious faith. It's worth it to follow the biblical principle. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's worth it to encounter Jesus, isn't it? It is worth it to have our faith rewarded, and true to form, he's in this house tonight. And I hope that through this service, in our time of worship, through music, through our prayer, through some of the things that I've highlighted, I trust that your mind and heart has been encouraged and refreshed, strengthened, and certainly you can know that the petitions that you've brought to him this very night, in this very place, he's heard you. And you can go from here refreshed. You can go from here filled with faith that God is going to do a great work in your heart and in your life because he loves you. If you'd stand with me, once you've done that, I'm going to invite you just to spend a few moments to thank the Lord for the fact that we have the church. And I know it's a spiritual body, and I talk about the body of Jesus Christ. That's what it really means. We're called out believers. But thank God we have a place to gather, right? A place to get together. And there are all kinds of advantages. Would you lift up your voice and let's thank him together from our hearts. Lord, we appreciate so much your presence, your nearness. We thank you for the fact that we can join in worship, join in the house of God. Thank you that we are in a country where there's an opportunity to build a place like this, and it's able to be set aside time where we can freely gather and assemble ourselves. And more than all those practical things, thank you for the power of Jesus Christ that meets us here. Thank you for the lives that are transformed. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the answered prayers. Thank you for the things that you do to encourage and uplift us. We rejoice in what you are doing. And we celebrate this night the advantages of assembling ourselves together. Thank you for honoring us as we've honored your word and the principle of it. We do celebrate this very night. Amen and amen. If you would, offer a hand clap of thanksgiving for his presence tonight. We are grateful.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Yeah, let's go ahead and give the Lord a thanksgiving for your house, God, and for your people, O Lord, and for your goodness, Jesus. Thank God. You know, God's people gathering together, and for we apostolics who have a hope beyond this life, even gathering together for funerals. We attended Sister Rodenbush's memorial service last night, and several of those things that Brother Reber listed happened in that service. Testimonials and reports of great things that had happened in the past and continuing to happen, people's lives being impacted around the world. And we experienced the presence of God, and we united together in prayer. In fact, I was thinking as I wrote the notes, and maybe Brother Reaver would share them with us in case I missed some, but that would also be a good prayer list to pray before a service, to pray as we fellowship together, pray as we give, pray for the anointed preaching that will come, to pray that we would see spiritual transformation. Thank you, Brother Reaver, for a wonderful lesson from the Word of God that helped to strengthen the church of the living God. Amen. Amen.